and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now we're studying the beast of Revelation 13. This beast will come on the scene during the tribulation period, the Great Tribulation. And I call the entire tribulation Great Tribulation because this is a time that has never been before. It's going to be a difficult time for everybody. It's worse than difficult, especially the last 3.5 years that we do refer to as the Great Tribulation. And people will suffer as no one has ever suffered before. And there's going to be someone there who's going to be in charge. And you say, well, that's the devil. Yes, the devil is going to be in charge, but he has a man working for him. And that man is known as the beast or the Antichrist. And we've already read some about this person who's coming on the scene. And we've discussed this, how that he will simply be a man, but this man is going to be empowered by the devil. And we left off last time with Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2. Where it says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. He had a body like a leopard, and this means his rise to power will be quick. He had feet like a bear, and he will crush his opponents. The mouth like a lion, he will swallow up. He will overwhelm all who dare stand in his way. He's called a beast. And as I said the last time, the word beast refers to a wild animal. It's used as a metaphor of a man who is brutal, savage, and ferocious. And like a wild animal, Antichrist will attack the kingdoms of the world, and he will destroy all who get in his path. He will be a fearsome, powerful man. Well, he has control, and he will have control, and he rules the world, but not by his own power. And I've said this before. He is Satan's superman. He is energized by the dark prince. And we are told that Satan gives him three things. In verse 2 of Revelation 13, he gives him his power. Well, this word refers to strength, power, and ability. Next, and second, he gives him his seat. Well, this would be his throne. He rules because Satan has given him his dominion. And three, he has great authority. And this word refers to the ability to do as one pleases. Oh, the Antichrist will do as he pleases on this earth for a time, and no one will be able to stop him. Well, the Antichrist will accept the offer Jesus refused in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus would bow down and worship the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 talks about this. Can you imagine the devil offering Jesus what Jesus had already, what he had created? And sometimes I think the devil is just plain stupid. He just doesn't care what he says or what he does. But Jesus, the Creator, was offered the world. Can you imagine that? Well, what did Jesus do when the devil offered him these things? Jesus refused Satan's ridiculous offer. And it appears, however, that Antichrist will accept and Antichrist will rule the world. In other words, the Lord turned down these things, but the Antichrist is going to accept these things. Satan will control the future. He will control this future world ruler. And let me remind you quickly, it's only going to be for a short period of time. It's not going to be forever. This is going to take place over a period of 7 years. But notice this. There is an interesting parallel that I would like to point out. The human heart was made to be occupied. When you're lost, you're unsaved, the heart is occupied and controlled by Satan himself. Now that's hard to take, but Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 talks about this. When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the heart and assumes control of the life. And if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, then Satan is your Lord and your Master, according to John chapter 8 and verse 44. That's what it says. Ye are of your father the devil. Now, some people really get mad when you tell them that, but don't get mad at me. You need to take it up with God, because God tells us that in his word, John 8, 44. Well, notice the beast and what he does. Revelation chapter 13, and I encourage you once again to have your Bible open and read along with me, if at all possible. Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 through 4. John the apostle says, "Now, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Well, notice that he receives the world's wonder. He receives a wound, some say killed him. Notice verse 3, and I just read that. It says, as it were, or as it appeared. I believe that's what it's saying, as it appeared to be a wound to death. I do not believe it killed him. He was healed, not raised from the dead. His wound was healed. The Antichrist, the beast, we see this as we study the Word of God. I do not believe he died now and was risen from the dead. This would be a false resurrection if it's ever presented that way. And I believe that people will think he rose from the dead. He was not killed, I do not believe. But something else the Antichrist does, the beast, he desecrates the holy place of the Jewish temple. Matthew chapter 24 and Daniel chapter 11. Let's read Daniel 11, 31, where it says, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." Daniel 12:11 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Speaking of the Antichrist, the abomination. Matthew 24:15, it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," that's the Antichrist, "spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Mark 13:14, "But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains." Oh, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be bad. But let me give you some hope here. Those of us who are saved, of course, we won't be here. We're going to be with the Lord. The rapture of the church will have already taken place before the tribulation starts. You say, when's that going to be? Well, I don't know. Neither does anyone else. The Lord knows. God knows. But I don't know. And neither do you. But the important thing is to know that we won't be here as saved people. We're going to be with the Lord. He's going to come and he's going to say, "Come up hither," and we'll be with him before the tribulation starts. We're not going to go through this terrible time that's never been before. It's so terrible that's never happened like this before. It's going to be bad. But those of us who are saved, we're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to be tormented in the tribulation period. And if you're unsaved at this time, right now, if you're unsaved, you need to get saved right now so that you will not have to go through the tribulation. But worse than that, you will go through hell. You will be in hell if you do not get saved. Don't even think about the tribulation at this point. Hell is so much worse. You will go to hell and be cast into the lake of fire later, never to come out. You'll be tormented forever and forever. No end. So right now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance means that you've changed your mind about how to get to heaven. You've realized now that you can't go to heaven by yourself. on your own. You need Jesus Christ. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, the Bible goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The first part of that verse says the wages of sin is death. That word death means eternal. Eternal. Lost forever. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, or in other words, the children of God. If you'll get saved, you actually become a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You could say something like this and pray and mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart right now and save me so that I could be with you one day. Save me, Lord. Now, if you'll pray a prayer something like that, you see, it's not a long prayer, but mean it in your heart. Mean it that you're sorry for your sin and you know you can't save yourself. But you want Jesus to do it because he's the only one who can. Ask him to come into your heart right now. And you'll not only escape the tribulation, if it starts soon, the greatest thing is you'll escape hell. You'll be with me in paradise one day, and that is in heaven right now. You'll be with me, as Jesus told that thief on the cross. The one who believed on him, Jesus told him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he was. He was with the Lord, and you'll be with the Lord one day if you'll trust him as your Lord and Savior. Well, getting back to the tribulation period and the beast, the Antichrist, at some point during the Antichrist's reign, he's wounded, and the appearance is that he dies. Remember, we read about that. It appears that he died. And as the world watches and mourns the death of this very popular man, a miraculous thing happens. See, this supposed dead man appears to come back from the dead. He experiences a supposed resurrection. Please allow me some literary license here. I believe the supposed death of the Antichrist is in likeness of our Lord's death. I also believe there will be a so-called resurrection of the Antichrist, which could possibly and supposedly take place after 3 days and three nights. I do not know that for sure. But it could be presented that way. Remember, I told you that Satan is an imitator. And in this verse, we are told that Satan seeks to duplicate the resurrection of God's Son. God's Son died on the cross and rose from the dead, and the world, for the most part, ignores him. Well, this man will die, supposedly, and rise, supposedly, again from the world, and the world will wonder after him. They ignore Christ, but they wonder after the beast. Now, he has the world right where he wants it, eating out of the palm of his hand. The world thinks he's so great. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4 says, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That's devil worship. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who could overtake him, in other words? Now, he receives the world's worship, and whether his death or resurrection is real or not, the citizens of the world will be taken in. But those of you who are saved, who are listening, you who are saved, you will not be here during that time. You will be with the Lord. That is, once again, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you're saved, you will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever. Jesus is coming back. He's coming for us in the clouds. Now, he's going to have a second coming, but we're going to be in the rapture of the church before the second coming takes place. In fact, we're going to be with the Lord when he comes back in his second coming. Get excited about being with the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.